Though he that ever kind and true kept stoutly step by step with you, your whole long gusty lifetime through, be gone a while before, be now a moment gone before, yet doubt not soon the season shall restore your friend to you. He has but turned the corner, still he pushes on with right goodwill, through mire and marsh, by hue and hill, that selfsame arduous way, that selfsame upland hopeful way, that you and he through many a doubtful day attempted still. He is not dead, this friend, not dead, but in the path we mortals tread got some few trifling steps ahead and nearer to the end, so that you two, once past the bend, shall meet again as face to face this friend you fancy dead. Push gaily on, strong heart. The while you travel forward mile by mile, he loiters with a backward smile till you can overtake, and strains his eyes to search his wake, or whistling, he sees you through the brake, waits on a stile. These words of the poem Consolation by Robert Louis Stevenson were read while standing in a Fife cemetery with a view of the Forth estuary and marking the laying of ashes of a father, grandfather, uncle and doctor, but he was also an artist, a musician and a friend to many. The death, funeral and cremation had happened in the previous year, and with family travelling from across the world, the final part in decision of where the ashes would be was a conversation that would take place over a matter of days after some had headed home. A final decision had been taken that this part would be later when others could be present, and it would carry less of the tears of sorrow and more of the joy of life well lived and hope of resurrection, in a place that connected the deceased with an earlier part of his life. Our readings this morning speak to that time of Easter when we are still transitioning from the sorrow of losing Jesus in death through the amazement of the possibility of resurrection to the hope and ambition of the early church and for our lives today. In the revelation of John, we encounter the strangeness of his vision. We've perhaps heard the verses before at funerals or on All Saints' Day. And while being confused by what is there, know they speak of a hope for a time with the Creator. While in the book of Acts, we hear of another resurrection, another miracle, and the possibility of life-changing events. Of course, we've also sung Psalm 23. And on a Sunday, sometimes known as Good Shepherd Sunday, we recognise the comfort and maybe even sometimes the sorrow that these words bring as we think of a guide who walks through life and death with us. Stevenson's poem captures some of the poetry of Psalm 23 and unconsciously links it to the themes of the verses we read from Revelation this morning. The journey which the bereaved takes seems like an uphill climb through changing ground textures as the emotions of missing their loved one pull them to chase after memories and lost dreams and hopes until they find a settled place where memories warm the heart and fill the imagination with having known love. Stevenson's poem does not suggest it's a climb that happens once, but it instead suggests that consolation is an often travelled path with a new settled place on each climb. Then, there on the settled place, we catch a glimpse of the reminders of resurrection, the thin place and moment when we sense the nearness of the presence of the eternal and maybe even of our loved one. Chapter 7 of the book of Revelation is a moment of consolation, an interlude that speaks of the hope of God's salvation. In chapter 6, John's vision has watched the Lamb of God opening 6 of 7 seals upon a scroll that only the Lamb can reveal. The first 4 seals brought 4 horses to the fore. And the colour and imagery of these horses suggest conquest, bloodshed, famine, and then death. The fifth seal reveals those who were martyred for their faith, while the sixth suggests the downfall of those who had held abusive power. Before opening the seventh seal and the sounding of the trumpets that bring plague upon the earth, chapter 7 brings a pause. It opens with four angels standing at four corners of the earth, holding back the winds of change until God has claimed those who belong to the eternal. In our verses, we hear that those who belong to God are a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language. In his vision, John's asked a twofold question of who are those dressed in white? He tells the questioner that they know, and it's revealed that they are those who have held on to faith in the midst of chaos. Bruce Epperly suggests that the reading offers us a peek into heaven with the assurance that while some may appear lost to us, no one is lost to God. He writes, "Heavenly hope does not turn us away from the world, but enables us to live courageously when all eternal hope seems to be gone. We will all experience necessary losses, but no one is final in light of God's everlasting love." The book of Revelation is a book we can struggle with. The imagery at times seems obscure. We're not sure whether it deals with the past, the present, or the future. So perhaps this interlude in chapter 7 allows us a place to find something with which we're familiar. We recognise the white robes of those who belong to God as symbols of their purity, symbols of having entered the presence of God and been transformed by the healing and forgiving power of the Holy Spirit. We recognise the palm procession, perhaps the celebration of the Feast of the Tabernacles, but maybe even a palm procession where the imperial powers were reminded that all blessing, glory, and power belong to God. The chapter is a moment of consolation that offers us reminders of resurrection, perhaps some future time with God, and maybe of that exodus from the emotions of being separated from God to find ourselves sheltered in the care of the eternal. At its basic level, the book of Revelation tells the story of an apostle in the early church wrestling with the abuse of the Roman Empire and looking for signs of God's saving presence in the midst of life. Our story of the disciple Dorcas, or Tabitha, speaks of two journeys from consolation to resurrection, one directly through the story and one unconsciously. We hear of Dorcas's resurrection. Peter had been in Lydda healing a bedridden man when he hears of the death of Dorcas. There are clues in the story that Dorcas is someone who is wealthy. She owns a home with an upper room. Her faith and discipleship, however, have encouraged her to use her status in the service of others. Arriving at her home, Peter's taken to the upstairs room full of widows. It's a very special moment, for surrounded by those who had very little social standing, surrounded by the poor and overlooked, they invite him to hear the story of someone who has valued their presence and their lives by her support of them, financially and with the clothes that she's made for them. Careful stitches and garments have brought consolation to these women as they mourned their own loss of status and place in the community. In the listening to their stories, Peter offers consolation for their loss and then sends them from the room so that he might pray with Dorcas. He then presents the resurrected Dorcas to the women, and just as his own experience of resurrection had revived his faith, so these women are revived and spread the news of what they have seen. As well as offering connections between Jesus' miracles and those of Peter, the story also tells of the transformation of Peter. Maybe the wonder of the book of Acts is it tells the story of how the disciples were consoled from their sadness, from the scared men and women hidden in an upper room, to living reminders for the resurrection. Having witnessed the resurrection, they themselves embody resurrection as they move from loss to declaring the hope of God's presence alive in the world today. What will we take from our readings this morning? Maybe it's simply a reminder that our lives are shaped with the possibility of birth and death in every day. We greet the morning with the hope of new beginnings, to sometimes journey in turmoil and sorrow, to find the end of the day frustrating, angry, lonely, and bewildered. We sleep seeking consolation and hope, and are revived in the newness of another day, in a resurrection moment. Perhaps we cannot fully experience resurrection, the hope of a new way with God, if we have not journeyed through the emptiness of bereavement and death, whether that be of a loved one, of our status, or of the tragedy of the world. In the shared moments when we ponder over the careful stitches of love that others have placed in our lives and tell the stories of what makes us human and valued, we discover consolation feeding and inspiring us, taking us to the heights of resurrection, that we might share what we know of God's love and light with others, and then enable resurrection for them. Amen.